Turn to the Word of God for our instruction, John chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 18. Come, let us hear the holy Word of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. So reads God's holy, precious and infallible, without error, his word. May he bless it to us this evening. Well, if you please have your Bibles open there in John chapter 10. As you know, for some time we have been considering the great I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're all found here in the Gospel of John. Seven times in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus pronounces seven great I am statements. I'll just give them to you in order as we find them. John 6:35. Remember, he said, I am the bread of life. And he reminded us really what that implication was. Remember how the people of old, in the Old Testament, were fed manna from heaven, but he said, I am come down from heaven. I am the bread which has come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. If anybody partakes in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall not just live here on earth, but he shall have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus said, men ate that manna, but they died. But those who partake of the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life, he gives to them eternal life. And then secondly, we saw he said, I am the light of the world. In John 8:12, we remember in that study how he addressed that woman that was caught in that adulterous affair. And he said, you know, if anybody walks in the light, as he is in the light, I am the light of the world, he shall not walk in darkness. And if we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to give us light in our lives. He's come to bring us to walk in his light. John says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another and with him. And then Thirdly, we thought, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. Remember how he raised dead Lazarus, whose body, the Bible says, was beginning to smell because he had been dead for so many days. And he called Lazarus out of the grave. He who was dead lived again. And then he turned to Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, and he said that he was the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And the fact is, when he comes again, just as Lazarus's body was in the grave, when he comes again, he said, marvel not, the hour is coming, that which all that are in the grave shall come out of the graves. The Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, young people, made some very, very profound statements about himself. We would have to say that he's either God or he's a complete madman. Who would say that he could call people out of the grave and not do it? That would be a madman. But the Lord Jesus Christ performed that miracle. He called Lazarus out of the grave. And then you remember he said, I am the door of the sheep. And we considered that last time. And here it is in John chapter 10 verse 7. I am the door of the sheep. And then this we haven't looked at. We're going to look at it. It's in the same chapter here, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. And then, of course, there are the others that are coming up in John 14. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, John 15:1. I am the true vine. So here tonight, I am the good shepherd. Remember last time, in the same chapter, the verse 7, he said, I am the door of the sheep. And it's important we go back to that because these two great I am statements are very closely connected. Now again, when he says I am, this is not just a subject and a verb. When he says I am, or I am being. No, it means far more than that. When you go back to John 8, you don't need to turn there now, but remember he said to the Jews that were around him, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what that meant. He was claiming to be God. The Lord Jesus Christ was claiming to be God, and that's why they picked up stones. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, I existed before Abraham. I am the self-existent God. And that's why they tried to kill him, because he was claiming to be God. Of course, he was God. God the Son. The Apostle Paul tells us, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest. He was seen in the flesh. He appeared in the flesh. He became man. God became man. He never lost his divinity. He had two natures in one, God and man together. And so that's why they wanted to kill him, because they remembered the words which God said to Moses, and Moses went back to the people in the Old Testament. God said to Moses, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And so they knew this very well. He was equating himself to be God. And of course he is God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Bible goes on to say in John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So here tonight we move on from this statement of him saying, I am the door, to I am the good shepherd. And they are very closely, only just a few verses apart. Now let's just go back to our last studies here where he says, I am the door. What was the setting of that? If you look at the verse 7 there in our John chapter 10, verse 7, then Jesus said unto them again, he's speaking to these people, the same people who he is dealing with in chapter 9. And they were religious leaders. They were the Jews who were angry because he had healed a blind man on the Sabbath. And they were extremely annoyed with this because they equated that healing that he performed on that man on the Sabbath. They said he was actually doing work, but he wasn't doing work. It was perfectly permissible for anybody to perform kind acts of mercy on the Sabbath. If they had an animal that was in the ditch, they could. And if you had an animal in the ditch and it was suffering, it was dying, you could pull the animal out. Or if you needed to feed your animals, that was all, of course, permissible on the Sabbath. But these religious leaders were just annoyed with him because he was the true teacher. He was from God. And this young man was then interrogated by these religious leaders. They began to question his parents and say, well, what do you say about your son? How was he healed? And what about this man, the Lord Jesus? And they said, well, why don't you ask our son? He is of age. And the Bible says they said all of this because they feared being thrown out of the temple. And so you could see the religious leaders, how much fear they put into the hearts of people. And he is addressing them here in the verse 7. He turned to them and spoke to them and he said, look, I am the door. I am the door. I am the way in which anybody gets into the kingdom of heaven. It's not by your religious teaching. It's not by the temple. But I am the door of the true sheep of God. God's people here are pictured as sheep. And his kingdom is pictured as a sheepfold. And the Lord Jesus Christ right here is the good shepherd of this sheepfold. All the false religious leaders were false shepherds. They are hirelings, as he describes them here. I am the door and I am also the shepherd. I'm the door, I'm the way into this sheepfold, and I am the shepherd as well. He is both these things. And so here, primarily, he's not speaking to Christians. Those are who his disciples, but he is speaking to people here who are merely people that attended the house of God. They had an attachment to it, but they were actually spiritually blind, as he tells us in the latter verses of chapter 9. They were the blind leading the blind. And oh, how we have this so much in our world. We have many people, you know, that would go to church, and even men standing up preaching, but they are the blind leading the blind. They have never really come to Jesus Christ, the door and the shepherd. They don't follow him. They follow their own teachings and their own patterns and their own traditions. And they've never, ever come to the Lord Jesus and believed upon him. And so the great question is, maybe you could be charged of this great sin of maybe somebody who just goes along to church. And you think because you go along to church that somehow you're in the sheepfold. Somehow you're in the kingdom of heaven. Somehow God will accept you on the basis of your attendance. Now, of course, it's very important to go to church. It's one of God's commandments to keep his Sabbath, to keep his day. But you know, we've got to belong to the shepherd. And to belong to the shepherd, we have to have gone through that door, which is Christ. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, enter in by the narrow gate. He is the door. It's a narrow way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But something he says here, notice, I am the good shepherd. And so this is really where we want to pick up this evening. In the Old Testament, we read about those who were bad shepherds. Let me just read to you. God warned the false religious teachers in the Old Testament who were leading people astray. And this is exactly what many of these Jewish people were doing for centuries. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 9, the Lord said, therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. Dear young people, there were false or bad shepherds, and there always have been. There have always been false teachers. And one of the ways you know them is that they like to line their pockets with people's money. They have no interest in the souls of young people and old people, just like the religious Jews here. The people were giving their sacrifices, but they were taking the very best, feeding themselves, getting fat on all these things, not giving to the Lord, not concerned for men's souls, never preached the truth. They were religious hypocrites. The only time they prayed was on the street corners to be seen of men. They were false teachers. That's who these people were. And God has warned against them. And that God will require his flock at their hand. And I realize my responsibility tonight. This is a young people's gathering. And the Lord has charged me with a very important work. And that is not to be some entertainer to young people or to old people or anybody who I preach to. But it's to preach the word of the true shepherd. And my responsibility is to bring before you this very fact that there is eternal life. But moreover, there is hell to avoid. And every time I address you, I hope that I'm addressing you and speaking to you just like it would be the very last time I would ever talk to you. Because really, young people, I don't really know when the last time I will ever talk to you again will be. I have no idea when that will be. But God has charged me as a minister of his word to speak to you plainly and honestly about the Lord Jesus Christ, about heaven and about hell. And it's so important that we take these things seriously. The Lord Jesus said, by the measure that ye hear, it shall be given unto you. And it's so important that we listen with all of our hearts to his word. For he says, his sheep, he says right here in this text, his sheep hear his word and they follow him. Now, the first thing we see here is that the Lord Jesus, in contrast to these men, is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Look, I am the good shepherd. If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, you'll see there in the verse 34, the Lord Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem, and he came out and he saw a great many people, and the Bible tells us that he was moved with compassion. His heart was moved with compassion. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. Why? Well, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And so what does he do? Does he just say, they don't have a shepherd? And so I'm upset, I'm grieved. No, what does he do? And he began to teach them many things. Let me just say this, young people. The mark of any true shepherd is to teach the truth. Because it's the truth that we need. Isn't it, after all? I mean, you young people, I hope you claim to be intelligent beings. You go to school, if the teacher's teaching something wrong, surely you look at the textbook, and if the textbook doesn't teach what the teacher's teaching, you question it. And the same here. As I'm preaching God's word, you ought to be looking at the word of God and saying, is the preacher teaching the truth? And if I'm concerned for your soul, I should be like the Lord Jesus. Should be teaching many things, not just a few. We need to know as much, don't we, about this life and the life to come as possible. Not just a few things. We should not just be satisfied with just a little bit of knowledge. But we should want to know more and more. How can I please the Lord? How can I avoid hell? How can I go to heaven? Well, if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you will lack no good thing, because he is the great teacher. And he began to teach them many things. You know that Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a lovely psalm. But you know, many people when they die, although they were never Christians, they want that psalm read at their funeral. How strange. How strange that people want that psalm. I wonder what you once said at your funeral. Will it be that you would be able to say, the Lord was my shepherd? Or something else. Not only does he tell us here that his primary work is being the shepherd, but that primary work is to lay down his life for the sheep. Look at the words, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, it's so important that we know why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, young people. Do you know why he came into the world? I wonder if you were to ask most of the young people in your school, although they've perhaps taken religious education and studied about Islam and Buddhism and all these isms. But what about the truth? The truth of why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. You know, the great reason is that he should die for his sheep. That he should lay down his life for his sheep. If you please turn with me to Matthew 26. Just have a look there with me. This is so important you see this. That the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was no accident. It did not happen by God's plan failing. But it was prophesied. The Lord Jesus speaking here in the verse 21 says, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And that was, of course, Judas. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. You see, he knew this. Now notice, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. That's such an important thing to notice there, the verse 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. What does that mean? Well, that means this. It is already written in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ would be betrayed, that he would be crucified, that he would be put to death, and that he would be raised on the third day. The very reason he came into the world was this. The scripture must be fulfilled. Do you realize this when you read your Bible? You're not reading some everyday book, but you're reading the words of God whereby he prophesied everything that would come to pass. And the Lord knew this time and time again. Throughout the Gospels, he told his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem because everything had to be fulfilled as according to the Scriptures. And so he can say here, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now notice the contrast, verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Now obviously, young people, this language is given to show us that these men, these religious Jewish men, didn't really care for the sheep. He's really inferring these men who would claim to be shepherds, claim to be the ones that are meant to be looking after the people of God, but they really just cared for themselves. They were, the word here is the word hireling. It's really just meant to illustrate that they were just in it for the money. You see, they didn't own the sheep. They weren't part of this flock. They didn't care for the people of God. These men were like this for centuries, just hirelings. And make no mistake of it, young people, there are many, even in our country, sadly, so I have to say this, and throughout the world, who are hirelings. Don't use that as an excuse not to follow the Lord Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? It's very easy, isn't it, to say, oh, look at that priest, look at that person. Why would I ever want to become a Christian when there's so much hypocrisy? That's pathetic. We need to understand that there have always been dishonest people in the world. Not just in the Lord Jesus Christ's day. These men who just cared about themselves and never gave any spiritual teaching were never concerned for the souls of people. It's always been so. And it will be. It will always be until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But now look at the great contrast of the Lord Jesus in the verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. One thing, you see, you and I, as we look at this verse here, the Lord Jesus says this about his sheep, that he knows them. In other words, all of his sheep, he knows. He knows his people. What does that really mean? Well, it firstly means this. He is God. He knows everything. Of course, the Lord knows every man's heart. The Bible tells us there is nothing hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Of course, God knows everything in the world. He knows the heart. The Bible says he tries the heart. He tries the reins. He knows everything about you or I. But he especially knows his people with a very, very deep eternal love. In the Old Testament, God said of his people, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Amos 2:11. He was speaking of his people. Now, of course, God knows every person. He knows all the tribes of the earth. But there he's speaking particularly to Israel. And he says, look, I have a relationship with you. And this is how it is with the Lord and his people. He has a special love and a special care for them. He has always had a love for them, even long before they ever came to him. And that's wonderful. The Lord has loved his people, the Bible says, with an everlasting love. And therefore, the Bible says, with loving kindness has he drawn us. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. How long has God loved his people? How long has he loved his sheep? Let me tell you, in eternity past, the Bible tells us that God chose a people for himself. And he has loved them with an everlasting love. And he says, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He eventually in time brings them to himself and they follow him. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now listen to this, young people. It is truly amazing. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before God ever formed the universe, he chose a people in Jesus Christ. He's loved them. He's known them. He never chose them because he knew who they would be. No, but he's always loved them. And then he says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's all of God's kindness and his grace. So he says here, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. You know, every one of them who the Father gave him, because that's what we read in John chapter 17, they were the Father's, and the Father, he says, has given them unto him. The Son has always loved them, and the Father has given them, but the Son will purchase them at the cross. The Bible uses the word redeem. He redeems, he buys them. Why? Because, you see, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, and that everybody that breaks God's law is under the curse of that law. And because God is just and because he's holy, punishment must be met for sin. Must be met. And this is why we're told that he has redeemed us by his precious blood. He lays down his life for his sheep. So he's loved them and he's known them. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, God says. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, there is an amazing story. We read of it in beginning of the Gospel of John here, about a man called Nathanael. Now Nathanael, the Lord Jesus, saw him coming. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now listen to what Nathanael said. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? How did you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You didn't see me, Nathanael, but I saw you. When you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. You see, the Lord Jesus knew Nathanael, his person. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. He knew all about that man before he ever approached him. And so it is for all of Christ's sheep. He knows their person. He knows all about you, if you are his sheep. And then Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Yes, of course. You are God the Son. You see, he is known. He knows his people. He calls each and every one of us by name. He knows our lives. And you know what? Something incredible. He knows our sins. This is quite staggering. That Jesus Christ, despite our sins, and he knows them, each and every one of them, even the darkest of sins, he doesn't love us any less. He doesn't love the sin, but he doesn't love us any less. Moses in Psalm 90 verse 8 says of God, Thou hast set our iniquities, our sins before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. My dear young people, the Lord knows everything about us, including our sin, and especially our sin. But you know, the Lord, despite all of that, he knows us with a deep love if we are his. And look, and I am known of mine. Do you see that? And I am known of mine. In other words, my sheep know me. How does somebody know the Lord? Let me ask the question. How, young people, do you know the Lord? How is it that anybody will know the Lord? Well, the Lord tells us that he reveals the Father and the Father reveals him. The only way that we can ever know him is by him granting us faith. When we're born again, we come into the world just like the rest of the people in the world. In darkness, the Bible tells us, spiritually blind, but God quickens us. He brings us to spiritual life. And then we begin to know the Lord. I remember this as a young man. There was a time in my life when I was in complete spiritual darkness. I remember having to stand up and read the Bible at school, and I hadn't got a clue what it was about. But then one day, the Lord began to reveal himself to me. How is it that we know him? Well, he speaks in his word. He speaks in his word, just as we've sung in that hymn, in that wonderful hymn, More About Jesus Would I Know. Well, he reveals himself in his word, and he grants us repentance and faith. He gives us a heart to repent. Now, let me ask the question, why is it some of you don't follow the Lord Jesus? Well, because you don't want to. It's true, isn't it? I mean, just be honest with me. Be honest with others. You don't want to, because you want to go your own way. You don't want to follow him. You don't want to give up. all those things that you count precious. But you know, when the Lord reveals himself, just as he did Lydia, what does he do? Well, we're told in Acts 16, a certain woman called Lydia, named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. My dear friends, you can worship God outwardly, but you're not going to really know the Lord until he opens your heart. Pray that he will open your heart to know the Lord Jesus. Look, my sheep hear my voice, verse 27, and I know them and they follow me. You know what it is to belong to the Lord Jesus? Let me say this, it's to follow him. What does it mean to follow him? It's to follow his commandments, it's to follow him and all that he says, it's to obey all of his will, to esteem his will. Knowing Christ means following Christ. The Apostle John says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Let me ask you the question. You say you know him. Well, what do you know about the Lord? You can know of him, and maybe that's as far as your knowledge goes. You know of him, you've heard of the Good Shepherd, and you can tell me all about him. But here's the question, do you know him as your personal Savior? Because there's a vast difference. And when you know him as your personal Savior, you don't just hear his word, but you keep his word and you obey his word. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to one, why calleth me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say? Well, if he's our shepherd, we will follow him. Now, young people, you know that sheep need caring, don't you? They need caring for because there are dangers. They need looking after. They get ticks and flies in their wool. And there are predators out there and there are all kinds of danger. And they're prone to wander off cliff edges and get themselves into all kinds of trouble. And so it is, dear friends, dear young people, we need the shepherd. You've got your life. I don't know how long you've got ahead of you, but you've got your life. It might be short, it might be long. How are you going to go on in this life? Well, it's very important that you have the Lord to lead you. Because if you don't have the Lord to lead you, you're going to go terribly astray. You're going to go in the wrong direction. You need the Lord. Because one thing you're going to have, if you don't have the Lord, you're certainly going to have sin. You can't have the Lord and have sin, or have a life of sin. And sin, young people, is soul destroying. One of the things that sin does is it destroys our relationship with God. And if we do not have a relationship with God in this life, we are going to be lost for all eternity. We need the shepherd. We need the shepherd because sin ruins our lives. It troubles us as people. It cheapens our conscience. You do something wrong once and then you do it again. It seems like your conscience has just become dead as to what's right and wrong. Sin also wrecks our friendships, doesn't it? It wrecks our friendships with others. And sin ultimately sends us to hell forever. Because guilt must be punished. And if we don't have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we have no hope. Who's going to pay for all of your sin at the end of your life? Somebody's got to pay. Either you pay or Christ has paid. What is it? Well, I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd layeth down his life for his sheep. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. He knows the Father because he's come from the Father. Are you going to listen to anybody else but one that's come from heaven? You better listen to the Lord Jesus because he's come from the Father. He knows the Father and the Father is in him. I am in the Father as the Father is in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've come down from heaven. Such verses he gave. He is the express image of the Father, the Bible tells us. He is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So we better believe the Lord Jesus. And the Father loves him because he came to do that, to save people. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. And you see, we're lost if we're not forgiven of our sin. There's no hope. We need the Lord Jesus. We need him as our Savior. Now we'll just close with Isaiah 53, the verse 11. Let's turn there. Isaiah 53, the verse 11. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." This is speaking in the Old Testament about the Messiah to come. "He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail, or the labor of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." Now notice, "for he shall bear their iniquities." You see? He is going to bear their iniquities. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. He is going to make a certain people justified, for he shall bear their iniquities. He is going to give a knowledge of himself in what he did in bearing their iniquities on the cross. This is why he was forsaken. It tells us there in these verses that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief, and that his soul was made an offering for sin. The Bible tells us, Paul says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Do you realize, young people, when Christ died on the cross, he was taking all of the sin of them who we would justify, bearing their iniquities. It's quite amazing. "He shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd layeth down his life for his sheep." And he says, "And my sheep hear my voice, and they come to me." You know, it was these verses here. That's why I'm pointing you to them tonight. It was these very verses here that I read some 21 years ago that brought me to faith in Jesus Christ. Knowing that Jesus Christ, 2,000 some years ago, bore my sins on the cross. And you know, all of my guilt and my shame, they were lifted from me, and I had peace with God for the very first time in my life. And I will never, ever forget that. And for 21 years, I have known the Lord to be my good shepherd. And I will say this, young people, I would never, ever follow anybody else but the Lord Jesus. Because greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. He is the good shepherd. He died, his soul took all of my sin. Paul says, "Who shall lay a charge to God's elect? For Christ has died." None of these hirelings here would ever give themselves for one sheep. For the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep. And he says he lays down his life that he might take it again. He knew he would be risen because he was without sin. And he says no man takes it from him. He lays it down of himself and he takes it up again. He has power. He even said to Pilate, "Pilate, you would only have power to crucify me. You only have it because it were given from thee above." It was all a plan of God, that his son should lay down his life for his sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." All of his will follow him. And the first thing that means is repenting. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus. All of his sheep hear him, and they repent. Have you believed upon Christ? There is so much more, but time has run out. May time not run out for you, young people. Please, turn to the Lord. Seek him while he may be found. I was just talking to a dear friend of mine, and he had a dear friend, and he was working on a large tire, and the tire burst and killed him. We could be doing the most mundane thing, and then something, our world just bursts and closes in on us. May we be ready to meet our Maker at any time. We pray that we shall not be those that are the goats, separated, and that hear those awful words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Time runs so quick, doesn't it? See how time has run away from me tonight. I'd like to have said a whole lot more, but you know, time ends, and eternity is soon to come. Do not be found in that lost eternity, but be found in Christ. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord. Amen.